there's so many stories to tell, but you know, you don't always have time. So it was in 2010 that I'd realized, okay, I need to get out of Portland. I got an associate's degree spring of 2009. I decided to not continue going to Portland State. I needed to take a break, and I couldn't figure out exactly what I wanted to major in. So I needed to take a break. And it wasn't until the December 2010 that I had seen other friends leave town, and they're kind of back and forth and traveling and transient, and I really was yearning for that sort of experience. So I made a manifesto to myself basically in December of 2010 saying, I want to travel. I want to get out of Portland. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to not be just stagnant in Portland. I need something else to do. I need to expand myself. Living differently, experiencing different styles of living. This has brought me to the point that travel is an integral part of learning and education. That's become a segue for me coming back into my college studies. So some of the things that I experienced with travel was loads of exploration. I ended up starting my traveling in August of 2011. I met someone, I was at the Village Building Convergence, and I was volunteering. I met Eddie there, and we were becoming friends, and I just was like, hey, if you know of any other like opportunities happening outside of Portland, let me know. And so we started into a segue of like a romance, kind of like interest in each other. And in August, he's like, okay, do you want to come with me to California? So I just pretty much packed up my things in my friend's garage or in her basement and left my car at a friend's house and just hit the road. It's kind of like something from like a movie or a story, but it was really just like this romance energy was there, and it was summer, and it was just like, okay, this is like a door is opening. This is the start of me living differently. We went to go work on a farm for a few weeks. It was great. And, you know, it was really beautiful to be able to spend so much time with him and learn how to climb trees and learn to forage edible mushrooms during this time. And another point is like going with the flow, being open to being on the road and being open to different ideas of like, hey, let's go for a hike, or like, let's just hang out at the beach for a while. Let's go for a long walk in the woods after we do some of the work on the farm. And there was a lot of stargazing, which was really great. To be more connected with our environment, because in our society, we've really been kind of taught to, well, I mean, my parents didn't really teach me how to like grow an edible garden or be outside a lot. I mean, I went camping with my mom sometimes, but I don't really remember ever going like camping in a tent with my dad, like just with him, because my parents split up when I was a little kid. It wasn't like we would go, my brother and I would go with my dad, and we would like go hiking or something. Like we would just like go to my grandmother's cabin, but there was always a house, there was always a structure. It was never like campfire, tents, foraging in the woods, just because a lot of people's parents didn't really get that knowledge either. Which is funny because there was all this knowledge, but then it was like kind of lost with our American lifestyles and culture. So yeah, there's like a more of a nature, reconnecting with nature sense in all of this. So not wearing shoes as much as possible, which is really good for your circulation, actually, I found for myself. And they actually call that earthing. If anyone wants to look into the book Earthing, that's the title of the book. It's not specifically about being barefoot on the cement. It's about being barefoot on the actual earth. Because our feet, we have a lot of different nerve endings in the bottoms of our feet. And the earth has negative ions in it. And we can absorb negative ions through the actual ground. I don't really promote walking barefoot on cement. It's really not good for us because our, you know, our bones and our back, the toxins and the cement is very hard. I don't recommend running on the cement without shoes on either. And again, another way to connect with the environment is like going outside and deciding not to wear shoes and actually getting more callus on your feet. With other research that I'm not going to get into, it's really good for us to actually practice not wearing our shoes. Anyway, with all this traveling as well and having this transient lifestyle, my street smarts were getting strengthened, and I noticed the strength that I do have is being able to engage with people and actually draw people to me. I have a certain sort of magnetism that I notice. It's a tool, and it's a skill, and it's really helped me along the way, especially since 2010 till now. and that helps with my communication, and that also helps with being able to work together with people and strengthening my intuition. Because I know if I'm drawing people around me that are going to be nurturing or we're getting along, then it's like, that's a good sign. I'm a little superstitious, but I'm, you know, I don't want to be too superstitious too, because I like giving people a chance. I like giving people the benefit of the doubt. I'm very curious to like talk with different people and hear about their stories and see where they come from and have more and try to have more understanding of why is this person acting like this? Like, why are they having such a hard time? And is there anything that I could do that I could might, you know, maybe help them realize something within themselves? I think that's really important too, is like with travel and being transient, is talking to different people and being in different situations and being able to, for me, we've really kind of lost the art of like, okay, let's help people draw the answers out of themselves. Empowerment is huge. I was definitely doing the farm work during the fall, and I think came back to Portland for a very short amount of time. And then actually went out east to Eastern Oregon to go do some survey work with Karen Coulter, who's the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project. And she actually surveys international forests because that's public land. And all these corporations and stuff are logging on public land, and they're like actually making money. And it's just apparent that we need to be able to save old growth. So Eddie and I, we went out to Eastern Oregon, went out and did some tree surveying, and then actually went back and I got a wilderness first responder training in Bend. And then I actually went back to California and then came back to Portland. And then I actually went to the East Coast. So I was not really staying in Portland for more than a month at a time. People were wondering, well, what are you doing? It doesn't seem like you're doing anything. You're just traveling around. And actually that's total bullshit, because you are. You're like constantly learning. You're constantly having to like put yourself in a sort of an uncomfortable situation, and then you're gonna have to like navigate either a way to get out of it or to change the situation, change yourself, have to communicate with people. And this comes back to like the street smarts that you do learn when you're traveling and being more transient. And you do pick up work along the way. There's opportunities. Hey, you can come work on this farm, or like, hey, you can do some house sitting. So during this time of 2010 till just 2015, I would house sit and not pay for rent and then go traveling, and then do some more house sitting. And I actually did some house sitting that I got paid for as well. The romantic relationship. It was mainly friendship. It was really interesting. Before Eddie, I was dating someone where, there was like some partner rape involved. And so I don't want to get too much into that. So getting with Eddie, it was like having this basis of a friendship with like the lover part as well, but it wasn't all about the sex. It was like, we only had like sexual activity, like 1% of the time, which was good for me. But during this time of being with Eddie, like 2011 to last year, it was also like, I started to realize and learn about myself. Like, you know what? I'm not even wanting to be in a romantic relationship. And so it actually took me a little bit of time to even get out of the romantic part with Eddie. But part of this whole travel, transientness, living in different places, living minimally, all these different living situations and going back and forth from different states. You know, it's like, okay, I'm learning about myself. I'm learning about other people. And it also brings up into your face some of your habits that you have been working on since you were a kid. Habit or personality traits. And in the back of my mind, you know, I still was like, I want to go back to school at some point. You know, it's like knowing like, okay, I still want to get back to school at some point. Like I have an associate's degree. It just wasn't time. 2012 is when we went to Europe. That was really interesting. You know, I think that I learned that the communication between us wasn't always like super clear and assertive on my part. And so we went to Europe for like 3 months together. And I, you know, it was like pretty cheaply done. Pretty much bike tour and trains, and took a ferry to Sweden from Germany. Stayed in a hostel 6 nights out of the whole 3 months because we basically couch surfed. Couchsurf is a really good networking website to use to be able to stay with people. And you actually stay with people who live there, and you're getting more of an idea of the culture, having meals with these people. It's like you actually gain friendships this way. And also Warm Showers is a bike touring website to use for people to be connected on if you're traveling by bike and you need places to stay. So I thoroughly recommend people to use like couchsurfing, I think, .com, and then Warm Showers is either .com or .org. We went to Germany and Denmark and Sweden and the Netherlands and France and England and Poland. Yeah, there were some things kind of unraveling in our relationship to where I think he wanted to stay longer, but I just really felt like I needed to get back to the States. So came back to the States in like December of 2012, was actually on the East Coast for a couple of weeks after coming back from Europe. And that was nice. It was cold, but it was nice. And actually my brother, James, was in Pensacola during that time. In November of 2012, so I went to go visit him from Boston and going to Pensacola to visit my brother who's at the Navy base down there. He was stationed down there getting some, like, training. During this whole time, I was just, like, reflecting on how my family and my parents were not always understanding of what I was doing. They didn't approve of it so much. Sometimes they felt, like, a little bit confused or they just didn't get it, which is okay. After all of this, like, for years going on, it was, like, exhausted. So it's kind of like I got a bunch of this traveling and transientness out of me. And now I can just kind of, like, okay, ground more, settle more, go back to college. In a sense, do traveling through the mind and being in school and meeting new friends and being a part of social change and knowing that I'm going to have a part in that. And I'm knowing that I'm not just going back to school for myself, but for the community. One of the points that I do want to touch on with changing up your lifestyle and traveling, if it feels right to you, there's always a time and a place for everything. If you have the ability, the opportunity, and the enthusiasm to, like, go do some traveling, I recommend that. Because, again, with traveling, you can find, like, your kindred spirit family. And I know that's kind of a funny, like, kindred spirit could be kind of, like, new agey. But you do find people who you feel like they're your family. And it's also, traveling is a good exercise on balancing your planning and non-planning. This goes back to exploration, following your intuition, and being receptive. And to be able to discard plans when you need to. Because sometimes you just can't stick with the plan. You just have to, you just have to go with this new plan because it feels right. And you can't always bring logic in when something feels right. And that's another thing that you can really learn with traveling. The street smarts get really strengthened. You have to talk to people. You have to ask people for help. You have to ask people for directions. You have to engage with people. You can't travel alone. Even the people who do travel solo, you still run into people. You still end up staying at someone's house. You make new friends. We're all in relation to something else. We're always in relationship to each other, to our environments. You get to share the experience. You're either going to share the experience with new people you meet if you're traveling alone or if you're traveling with a lover or friends. You get to deepen your relationships with each other. You have this more you have more intimacy that you might not have had if you didn't get a chance to travel together. You got to be able to, like, watch your situation and communicate with people in an assertive way or to not say something when it's a time to not say something. You get to know more about timing and working together and trial and error. This is another chance to practice having honesty with each other. If you're traveling with other people, and it can be kind of scary and you're pushing the boundaries and you're going into the unknown, and this is just a part of life. And you're doing it, you're growing, and this is why we're here, right? We're here to grow, we're here to learn, we're here to experience experiential wisdom. We have purposes to fulfill, and we don't always know what they are. To know when to go or when not to go traveling, or to know to go down the road to the right or not go down to the road to the right, but keep going. Asking for guidance within can really strengthen your intuition. And this is another thing that our culture does not nurture in ourselves. And we do have intuition, and sometimes it's confusing, but sometimes you just know it in your gut. You know when something feels right and you know when something doesn't feel right. And that's another thing that our culture teaches us to do, is go along with this whole thing because you have to, and that's not true. And that's a really hard lesson, and I'm still learning that lesson. I'm still learning all these lessons. It takes time to learn these different skills and ways of communicating and knowing yourself and being a good human. And along the way with the traveling or living a different lifestyle, you are going to run into having family members or friends who are going to not understand you, who are going to be confused, who are going to try to shoot you down. And that's a part of the process of being able to just, like, kind of disconnect from them and say, you know what, that's their trip, that is their opinion, and that is not me, and I do not need to take that on. And that's another thing to learn in life too, right? We can't always be taking on other people's garbage, emotions, opinions, ideas. And so with all these things that I'm saying, this whole list of points that we experience while traveling, we're learning so much internally that others aren't seeing, but we can feel it and we see it. And we can't always verbalize this. We can't always verbalize this to our friends or our families or to lovers or whoever's in your life that doesn't fully understand, and that's okay. Because at some point through their own experience, potentially they will understand. There's a beautiful part of traveling and getting out of your comfort zone. So let's be receptive to letting in new brothers and sisters and family members who do understand, and they've been there and they get it, and they're supportive and nurturing and uplifting. And that's what all of us need right now. We're in a serious time of transition and consciousness shifting that we need to also challenge each other in tough love, but also be nurturing and supportive. It just goes to show traveling equals growth. And also, you learn what do you need to do logistically to like get out of the city? Because the city is a vortex of sorts. So if you have a car, you're going to use a car. Or if you're going to hitchhike, you're going to hitchhike. Or if you're going to take trains or like take your bike and bike tour part of the way too, you kind of like at least need to bring like a bag of stuff with you. So you kind of learn what do I really need and what do I not need? Like once you're traveling, you kind of realize you're traveling with two bags for months on end. And then you're like, whoa, I've had stuff in storage for like a year and I haven't even used it. And so it kind of makes you start to think about more minimalism versus having stuff. What do I really need? What do I really not need that I do keep holding on to? Some things are good to hold on to, I gotta say. Some things are really helpful that I've saved for 2 years and then I actually am using them now, living back in like a house. And so I'm noticing also though, there are some similarities with traveling and college. Another part of my story is that there's obviously at least two different ways of traveling. So you can be in one place and you can travel, and you can be moving your body around and doing different traveling. And they both have their place and time, and they're both important. So even in traveling and college, you know, I'm definitely noticing that I'm testing my comfort zones. I'm an older student. I'm coming into a program that's been going on for 3 terms and I'm new. And so I'm like kind of feeling uncomfortable sometimes. But at this point, now that it's almost at the end of the term, people are like actually now knowing my name. People are engaging with me more. So you notice that, oh, okay. So students are like not super engaging at the beginning, but then people start to warm up you and they start to like actually like engage with you. And in both situations, letting loose, letting yourself be who you are, that's part of the challenge, right? That's a huge part of like existence is like really like, who am I? And can I be who I am right now in this moment? Because we do change over time. And I've changed so much in the last 5 years. Challenging old ideas of yourself and others. This is huge in college and in traveling. And this is going to continually be tested as I go through college. And I'm still going to take time to travel, actually. I'm not going to just not travel anymore. It's a part of my life, I would say. There's a part of me that's always going to find enjoyment in traveling and going to different places and having friends in different places. The web of community grows. Boundaries are huge. Physical boundaries and mental boundaries, too. Being able to talk about what you need or what you don't need or what you're comfortable with, what you're not comfortable with, etc. I'm really into self-introspection, and it just goes to show that I'm constantly learning about myself, and this is it's a hard road, right? But it's worth it. It's worth trying to figure ourselves out and have good relationships with ourselves, and it feels right to be here.